time now for our first guest. He's far too modest to admit it, but Jim Parsons is perhaps the key reason why The Big Bang Theory has become the biggest comedy on US television, crafting a character for the ages as Dr. Sheldon Cooper. Parsons hasn't done that much movie work outside the show, but he stars in DreamWorks Animation's new movie, Home, which is out next week, as a cute alien who comes to Earth and does cute things. I haven't seen it. I'm
like
just
conquering
guessing.
The planet, Chris.
Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Does he do it in a cute way, though?
Well, actually, yes, but he does conquer the planet, let's not, you know.
Nevertheless, Parsons dropped by our pod booth recently on the morning after the Oscars, which explains why none of us were in a fit state to talk to him. Luckily, Ali Plum, who had some sleep, stepped into the breach. Enjoy.
So I'm Ali from the Empire Podcast. You're Jim Parsons. We're here to talk about Home, and I've just seen myself get horribly outclassed by other interviewers.
No.
They were in here before, and they were doing this party game that made me think, that's genius.
No, it's not genius. It was horrible.
Was it horrible?
Yes, it was an electric shock ball.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you at all.
You've been tortured as part of your interview.
It was the very first interview in this building I've done.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a fun game like Pass the Parcel, but instead it was you getting hurt.
No. No, I didn't think it was fun at all. I kept smiling, but it was not a good time.
Hooray. Welcome to England. Right, so, yes, we're here to talk about Home, but yesterday, today-ish, was the Oscars, and it feels strange that you're here. I feel like...
Well, I wasn't up for one.
Ah,
so, I agree. It's a big shame. Mm. It was really overlooked for my work in nothing.
To be fair, you were great in nothing.
Thank you. Thank you. No one did it like I did.
No, well, yeah, I just feel like you need to get more attention on that particular piece of work.
It was very funny to be here for the Oscars. In fact, when I flew out, everyone was flying in, to L.A. And that actually felt good. It's like, this is too many people in town at the same time. So it was nice to leave.
For me, it makes me think of your cameo in The Muppets, which I think if there were an Oscar for that, you...
I could have been up for one.
You should have been up for one.
Yeah.
Do you think, because your career is an incredible one, do you sometimes look back on the things that you've done and go, did I really do that? And was The Muppets moment one of them?
Yes. Well, I mean, when I'm doing it, is looking back, because when you're doing any of them, you're just kind of going through it and getting it done. But The Muppets was as close as to kind of pinch me while it was going on, though, as anything, just because I had truly, truly grown up on The Muppets. Like, that was very important viewing to me as a child. And their movies were very important to me. And I really thought that was kind of over. So the fact that there was a new Muppet movie being made at all was the first surprise to me. And then to be asked to be in it was the second surprise. And honestly, the clincher, though, that took it over the top for amazement on my part was that they weren't They just wanted me to be the human form of a Muppet. I can't tell you how pleased that made me. Still does. I really can't believe it. I don't know that it's been done before. You know, I didn't know the day I showed up that I was going to sing that song.
You
or
didn't.
Pretend to sing. No. And so in my time in the trailer, in like the hour they were setting up for the shot, they gave me a boombox, an old-fashioned looking boombox with a cassette or probably a CD of the recorded. And I sat around and learned that song. It wasn't that hard to learn. And it's a great song.
But still, I mean.
But still, the pressure. It was such a good time.
I just love the idea of your agent, because occasionally your agent has good news and bad news, that this be a good agent day going, Jim, you're going to like this one.
Yeah.
Would you like to be the human embodiment of a Muppet? Yes.
Yeah. Do you think somebody would have said no?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't think so.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
I can't imagine it. But speaking of pinch me moments, I was so delighted to see that not only, obviously, did you work with Steve Martin on Home.
Yes.
But you are in the same room as Steve Martin when Barack Obama walks in. During the recording of Home, and shakes by the hand.
Yes.
Had you met him before? Was this
No. Steve or Obama?
Well.
Steve I'd met before.
Obama, no.
Oh, my God, no. And in fact, it makes the day kind of a blur, to be honest with you. In all seriousness, I never dreamed of meeting a president, sitting or otherwise. And it was very much one of those that's all I did was think, it's the president, it's the president, it's the president. Because people are like, what did he talk about? What was he like? And I really don't have much to offer because I was kind of stunned. I will tell you the one thing I noted, he was so at ease. And that's comforting as the leader of our nation that he was at ease around his citizenry. But it wouldn't have to be so. I guarantee you there have been presidents that were awkward in surrounding. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
this was not his turf. I mean, it's America, so it was his turf, but it was a recording studio at DreamWorks, and he had no reason to be overly comfortable there. I mean, other than all the Secret Service around, which maybe that's the trick.
Yes.
Maybe that's the trick to cutting awkward out of your life, to employ a bunch of gun-toting, really smart security guards.
I wonder whether that's in many self-esteem books, that feeling, you know, the paragraph that goes, if all else fails, make sure you have security guards and right. you are the president of the free world.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does say something subconsciously to you, even if you are going, no, I'm the same, I haven't changed. Well, there's a lot of people guarding you with weaponry, so something's changed.
So what if Steve Martin?
Well, that's true. Yes, I haven't mentioned Steve once, you're right. Even I, just like, Steve who?
But you spend, I guess, a decent amount of time.
I spend a decent amount of time with Steve's wonderful. Working with Steve was insane because he is, I guess I would say, one of the most brave, creative people. His ability and willingness to fly off script, to fly off into anything, noises and movements and just rolls with it. And it reeks of this lack of fear of failure, you know. It doesn't reek of, I won't fail. It reeks of, I don't care. Mm. We won't know until we try. And that's really an impressive quality to have. Not working with him, just talking with him backstage, he's a real force of gravity. He's actually comes off so intelligent and really just solid. He's just a really almost professorial, you know. I don't know if he'd think that wasn't a compliment. I mean, it's a compliment, but that kind of smart and that kind of thoughtful.
He's also got the hair, so there's a professorial thing there.
That's true.
And that calms you.
Yeah, it does calm you. You do. You feel at ease. When I first met him, he was currently serving on jury duty and really enjoying it. He was really enjoying it.
Did he tell you at all about the case?
He did. Not in such a way that would have jeopardized his ability to make a proper judgment, I feel certain. But we did talk about the case a little bit. He was telling me why it was interesting. Yeah. Mm.
Well, yeah, you just don't want the lawyer to get distracted.
Halfway
through, get a selfie.
But that does happen.
I bet.
And I was frankly surprised that Steve Martin would even get picked for jury duty. What is the equivalent over here, by the way? Is there a jury?
No, we have jury duty.
You have jury duty. Okay.
We don't have an equivalent to Steve Martin, alas.
Well, you have, like, what, Helen Mirren?
He'll do. She'll do, even.
She'll do. When you say Steve Martin, what is the first thing you think of? Helen Mirren.
You're damn right.
But she would be, it would be odd to see her on jury duty, no?
Especially as she has played the Queen.
Oh.
And she is the one person in the country who is exempt from jury duty.
Is she exempt?
Yes, the Queen is not allowed to serve.
Oh, of course. That would be more distracting than Helen Mirren.
Would you like to pass judgment? Let me tie my crown up. What does the jury say?
I'm just a peer. Just think of me as one of you.
But you have, in this movie, we should talk about it, I guess, you have some, I was about to say lyrics, and I suppose that's fair, but you have some lines which are pretty tricky to say, but you aren't somebody who's not used to tricky lines.
No, it is a different level of tricky, though. You know, my tricky's more used to, like, what does this science term mean? That's the day job. And this one was very much the little alien speaks in kind of a broken English.
It's Yoda-ese, but not.
It is, yeah, there is a touch of the Yoda to it, you're right. It was really the hardest part of the entire process, which was a very enjoyable process, but I would self-correct into proper English these things that, no, he's getting it wrong. Oh, yes, okay, he is. Do's instead of does, you know, extra S's, thanking you instead of thank you.
Your brain's going, that's a double negative. That's a passive unnecessary.
Well, it really is, though. You don't realize, I don't even consider myself overly well-read, but enough, apparently, that it drives your brain crazy. But they show you those examples on the internet all the time where they're like, you can read things with missing so many letters because your brain just takes care of it for you.
You're right, because they swap like a C and a K around. And
yes. Or leave out an O or whatever.
Rihanna. Was that a life checklist tick next to Rihanna there? Because
well, yeah, I guess one that I didn't know I had.
Yeah.
You know, meeting Rihanna was not on the bucket, but it was at the same time. That was amazing. That was you don't normally meet people, I don't at least, who are so severely popular in the music world, especially, you know, it's severely really not my crowd. And then to meet in a recording studio, I know she wasn't recording an album, but it didn't help my comfort level going in because it felt like her turf. You know what I mean? She, however, is just about as warm and as personable as anybody I've run into. And, you know, she doesn't have to be. She could still get the job without being that nice, but she is. And she's very funny, and she was very quick to talk to. And it was neat. And she does a tremendous job in this movie. Mm-hmm. Her voice, which is so unique in music, is equally as unique in this. There's this beautiful combination of a real mature groundedness about it, which, again, is in her music. And then there's these other parts where there's this really sad vulnerability to it. And it's very moving. She does a wonderful job.
She is annoyingly talented.
She is annoying and not bad looking to boot.
Yeah, I know. I you know what? I think she's going to go far.
She might.
She'll be okay. But I want to talk to you about something a little bit off the beaten track. Big Bang Theory, that's yes. a TV show that exists. Home, this is a film that exists. Mm-hmm. From your back catalogue, from what you've done in previous times in your life, mm-hmm. is there anything that you'd like people to possibly pick out? Couple of things that you think, you know what, people don't talk to me about this enough, and I'm really proud of my work there, and I'd like people to go and see it.
This is strange. The only thing that's coming to me is something that no one would ever think to talk about, and I don't know what I would talk about with it necessarily. I guess I could find out. Do you know much Samuel Beckett stuff at all?
Not really.
Oh, anyway, I did a production of one of his plays, Endgame, in this warehouse in Houston.
That.
You have?
I have seen Endgame.
You've seen Endgame. I played the manservant.
Oh.
And I was, it's my favorite play I've ever done. It's my favorite play I've ever read. It was a really important experience for me, and it took place in this warehouse, this artist warehouse down in Houston. And the only thing about it, and this is not a deep part of the story, but I remember my mother at the time was like, oh, Jim, that place, you could find dirty needles in that place. And sure enough, we were cleaning up for the first production. Yeah, and found some dirty needles. It was an artist warehouse. Stuff went on.
If you're anything like me, it's not something you want to call up your mother and say, you're absolutely right.
I didn't tell her that one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess inadvertently I have. Luckily, it's been almost 20 years. But I don't know. I guess I would say this about the experience. It was one example of the many examples of some of the strange, strange places I worked as an actor. And at the time, I was working in these strange places for little or no money at all, just because I wanted to and to get the experience. But I can't tell you how much benefit I got from working in a multitude of areas other than just a stage or something. When you audition, as you do for so many things, in a broom closet or 2 feet away from some major star you've seen 1,000 times and here you have to sit and read something or whatever, it really helps to know, look, I've performed amidst dirty needles in a warehouse doing Samuel Beckett. I can handle reading a sitcom script in this broom closet with Kelsey Grammer, which was a true story.
What sitcom was that?
It only went on the air for a year, I think. He was producing it. He wasn't in it. And it was a wonderful script. Oh, I can't remember what it was called now. Anyway, but I really did go into a room no bigger than this studio, about the size of a broom closet. He was one of maybe 5 people in the room, and he was sitting closer to me than you are now. And I had never met him before, and I'd watched him all of my life. And you're just like, are you kidding me? This is important to me, and you're going to stick somebody in front of me that's going to make me a wreck. But that's the way they roll. You know what I mean?
Do they throw an electrocuting ball at you?
Everything but. It is trial by fire.
Jesus, that will happen one day. Worryingly, that probably will happen.
Trial by fire? This studio, apparently.
They'll poke you with hot sticks.
Yeah.
You were also in a TV show. I don't think people... I know it was only a very small, small role. Wait, I'm not going to go too far into the black abyss here, but Ed.
Oh, yeah.
I remember really, really liking that
show. Did you like Ed?
Yes. I don't know.
Yeah,
that
Ed was great. No, Ed was a wonderful show.
I feel like it wasn't seen enough.
No, Ed is one of those that I think could hint at one of those kind of, oh, was it before its time? Little bit, you know. Ed would survive, although it did really well, but it seems like one of those that, like, that could find a long-lasting home. Now, there's so many platforms and things for TV shows, but that was my very first TV work, actually. I was a park ranger in one scene.
And look at you now.
And look at me now.
I'm being electrocuted in a broom closet. Times have changed.
They really have.
You're a big sports fan as well.
I am.
You're in London at exactly the wrong time for Wimbledon.
Yes.
Are you coming this year? Is that on
I your... want to. It depends on work. You know, it really does. If I'm shooting something at the time, I would love to. I would especially love Jeannie Bouchard is the one player that I'm actually friends with. And I would. That's who I came to see last year. And, oh, my God, that was one of my favorite things I've ever done in my life. I mean, just the planets really aligned. I showed up in time for her second round match and was like, well, I'm here for a few days, so if she wins, I'll get to see another one. And then she got all the way to the fourth round. I was like, well, where am I going? Who do you have a chance to kind of tag along? And sure enough, went all the way to the finals. It was unbelievable. And she and her mother and her coach at the time were so gracious, and I always got to sit in the player's box. And I just, it really was for me probably a once-in-a-lifetime experience to watch a professional tennis player sandwiched between her mother and her coach as she plays all the way through the finals of Wimbledon. Unbelievable.
And did you have good time? I sound like, did you have gooding time? No, but did you have a good time in London when you weren't, like, watching tennis?
Yes. Although I have to tell you, for as little as I've gotten to do on this trip in the middle of February... I'm actually enjoying London itself more in February. It was so packed in the summer. This place is like Disneyland in the summer now. And I hadn't been here in about 8 years since I came for Wimbledon, and it's much more crowded now than it was then.
Do you find just as much in the US as the UK, people will just walk up to you? Because you are a very personable person.
You know what's funny? Here, it's other people visiting, like fellow tourists. They will come up to me.
No way.
The people who live here are very reserved with it. Like, you'll see some people, you go, oh, and you can tell they kind of recognize you. Yeah. They don't bother to come up.
I'm pleased at Britain.
Are you? You're proud of your home people.
I'm very happy they didn't go, hi.
Oh, they're very nice, too. The people here are very nice. This is service with a smile. It is.
I'll take that. I'll take it. Sir, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Talk to you. Thank you.
And next time, of course, I will not learn from my colleagues and won't bring an electric shocker.
Yeah, really?
It's the one thing on my CV. Does not electrocute interviewees.
It's a good way to get jobs.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Thank you.